Let's sing one of Woody's old songs.
And the geeks and the company pigs and the deputy sheriffs who made the raid. And when the news was called, she went to the Union Hall. And when the Legion boys came round, she always stood her ground.
Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union till the day I die.
Yeah.
This Union maid was wise to the tricks of company spies. She couldn't be fooled by the company stool. She'd always organize the guys. She'd always get her way when she struck for better pay. She'd show her cards with the National Guard, and this is what she'd say. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union till the day I die.
You women who want to be free, just take a tip from me. Join your hand with a Union man into the 21st century.
Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. It's Progressive News Network, and we are very proud to bring to all our listeners This Week in Tallahassee, brought to you by SEIU. I want to welcome Rebecca Wakefield, Ron Bilbao from SEIU Local 1991, and Subhash Katil from One Miami. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having us on.
It's our pleasure.
We're going to be talking about the legislative... We're going to be talking about the legislative session, which began March 4th, this past Tuesday. And some of the issues, our political director, Ron Bilbao, will be updating us on that. And Subhash will be talking about some of the actions that were going on around the state and what's coming up next week. So first off, you know, Governor Scott delivered his State of the State address, laying out his priorities. Unfortunately, his priorities were tax cuts and a dubious claim that he's created lots of jobs. You know, he titled his budget the Florida Family's First Budget, which is somewhat ironic. Ron, what struck you about the governor's speech?
Well, first, thanks, Rick, for having us, and Rebecca for including me in this talk this week. What struck me the most about this speech is how out of touch this governor seems to be, especially in an election year, with the majority of Floridians and the needs of everyday and middle-class Floridians as well. You know, he didn't say much about where the tax cuts were going to be other than reducing local fees and driver's licenses, which pretty much amounts to about $25 in savings for an individual. It seems like at a time where there's so much need for those excess taxes that they should be put into programs that are important. You know, if there's so much money that's being left over and there's so much need in healthcare, for example, you know, one thing that the governor didn't mention was taking this $51 billion in federal money that's being offered, that's being left on the table here by Florida and 24 other states to expand health care. The majority of Floridians are in favor of expanding health care. We're leaving a gap of over a million Floridians that won't be covered under the exchanges of the Affordable Care Act, nor under traditional Medicaid. But the governor doesn't seem to be interested in tackling the biggest issues that are affecting middle-class and working-class Americans. And he continues to talk about creating jobs. He has this tagline, it's working, and this year he seems to have changed it to let's keep working, as in give me four more years to figure out how to make this work. But, you know, the questions I think Floridians are asking themselves this election year are going to be, you know, who are you really working for? Corporate tax cuts, jobs created in other states, aren't working for us here at the working class and the middle class level.
Great. And you probably could say the same about many of the House and Senate priorities in terms of, you know, what they're pursuing. You know, they're talking about gutting pensions, and they're not talking about expansion. They're not talking about the issues that are important to us. Ron, what bills were moving last week that people should be aware of?
Sure. And just a note on the pensions, you know, it's another example. The Senate president, Senator Don Gates, you know, talked about having some sort of compromise on the gutting of the pensions of our public sector employees. You know, even though Florida has one of the most viable, one of the most safest pensions in all of the country of any other state, most seem to think that there's no problem with them, that they're fully funded. But this Senate president, this governor, this speaker seem to think that moving everybody to a 401k style plan and taking away workers' rights to contribute to a pension or to be eligible for a pension, that's something that most Floridians want, and I think they're out of touch in that sense as well. One thing that the speaker did say that we like to hear, it's taken him several years to do it, is his Speaker Weatherford's newfound support for immigrant children attending college. You know, this is something that has been debated at the Florida legislature for over a decade now, most recently in the last 3 years by Senator Dwight Bullard and Representative Jose Javier Rodriguez out of Miami. You know, folks that really understand what it is that these kids are going through, who were brought here in this country, maybe weren't born here, but have been in our elementary and middle schools and high schools. A lot of these kids are valedictorians or top of their class or student body presidents. And then when it's time for them to go to college, we shut the door and we tell them they've come far enough. So these are kids that we as a government, as a state, have invested in, and then we don't want to see them succeed after that. And we think, you know, that's obviously the wrong message to send our kids. It's also the wrong message to send bright people from all over the world that come to Florida to get an education. So the speaker has said that it's one of his top priorities to get an in-state tuition bill for undocumented kids passed this year through the Florida House. HB 851 is being sponsored by Representative Janet Nunez of Miami, although, again, for the past 3 years, the bill, that same exact bill, and even this session, that same exact bill has been sponsored by a Democrat, but obviously Democratic bills don't get passed in this legislature, neither in an election year. So that bill has been co-opted by the House Republicans, and it looks like they're going to pass it. It passed its final committee with a unanimous vote. And SEIU and our partners and lots of folks are obviously excited and happy to see that go. You know, what we would also like to see, if the legislature and the House and the Speaker are so, gung-ho on supporting immigrants, is that we'd like to see them say to kids that if they can go to school because they receive in-state tuition, that they should also be able to drive to school and offer them driver's licenses. You know, it was this governor just last year that vetoed a bill that would have given driver's licenses to recipients of deferred action, the president's program for Dreamers, and said that they shouldn't be able to have driver's licenses to go to these schools. So the tone is definitely changing in some aspects, but I really would like to see a change in all aspects. Support for a driver's license for immigrants is the right thing to do, and several states have already taken that. You know, the bill is also an uphill climb for these kids. You'd have to be in a high school for 3 years in order to qualify in a Florida high school in order to qualify for the in-state tuition. You know, it really should be just 1 year, the way that it is for a student from Alabama or from Texas or from California that comes to a Florida high school. They only have to be there for a year in order to qualify for the residency. So we'd like to see them be more expansive in their so-called support for immigrants' rights. Another bill that's important that really shows their lack of support for immigrants in our state, it kind of shows their true color over in the Senate, is SB 926 by Senator Wilton Simpson out of Newport Richey, which actually preempts, right? It takes away the ability for local governments to regulate the practice known as wage theft, which is exactly what it sounds like. You earn wages, you work, you deserve to get paid, and a lot of these companies, most of these workers that are victims of wage theft are immigrants, and a lot of these companies get to extort them, take advantage of them, keep the money that they worked hard for, and not pay them what they deserve to be paid, and then there's no remedy for it. In Miami-Dade County, we have a really strong wage theft ordinance that was passed by our county commission. It was actually written by Jose Javier Rodriguez, who's now a representative up there, but he wrote it when he was down here as a Florida Legal Services attorney. And it's been working. People are able to get there's some remedy, some civil action that workers can take in order to file grievances against their employers for stealing their wages. Well, the Senate and the House are interested in completely getting rid of those ordinances and saying that there should be a statewide policy. They won't say what that policy will be, but they want to get rid of all of them. So how's that for pro-immigrant support from this governor and this legislature? We're going to see a lot of other attacks on immigrants, on women. There was a bill this week that got postponed, but we'll see the return of it, that would have outlawed abortions in Florida anytime a doctor determined a fetus was viable at any point in the process. So obviously this is an attack on a woman's right to choose, and it's something that we see consistently every year. This is from Senator Ana Tara Flores out of Miami as well. But it was postponed this week, but expected to come back certainly and have a big fight over that this session as well.
Great. Thank you, Ron, so much. Is there anything coming up next week that we should be keeping an ear out for?
Next week, the Senate Ethics and Elections Committee is going to hear a bill on online voter registration, which is an idea that Senator Jeff Clemens, Democrat from Central Florida, has been pushing for several years. And look out for the House and the Senate to be in session starting on Tuesday, passing some of the first pieces of legislation of this legislative session.
Great. Thank you so much, Ron, and keep fighting for us up in Tallahassee. Moving on, you know, the action was not just in Tallahassee this week. Around the state, activists were out on the street raising awareness about all of our priorities as citizens of Florida. You know, the March 31st deadline for ACA enrollment is coming up fast. SEIU and its partners have created more than 4,000 events nationally for the rest of the month, from enrollment to days of action, bus tours, social media pushes, you name it. And around the state, we had healthcare, immigration, and many other issues on display at rallies and events. Subhash is here, and he's going to be talking a little bit about what some of those events were and what's coming up in the next week. Subhash?
Hey, folks. How you doing?
Hey.
Hello. Hey, Subhash.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, cool. So I'm going to say this every week. And I'm going to start off every week by saying that I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But our state capital is 8 hours away from Miami, 8 hours away from South Florida, 4 hours away from Central Florida, and a couple hours away from Jacksonville. And what I mean by that is our state capital is so far away from the majority of the state that our politicians think they can do whatever they want and that we don't find out about it. And it makes it more and more and more important whenever we see crazy bills or whenever we see good bills that are treated like they're crazy by our state politicians, for us to be acting as much as we can. And so there's a couple of things. On Monday, there was the Moral Mondays, and on the Moral Mondays, as folks know, folks from the NAACP and folks from organizations across the state, including SEIU, gathered the day before session to fight for things such as Medicaid expansion, such as protecting education, and such as making sure that folks aren't able to be killed and their murderers not go to jail, things like that. Tuesday morning, Dream Defenders at the Capitol for their State of the State address. Now, people may know that Dream Defenders were the group of folks of mostly young people, mostly black and brown youth across the state of Florida that had convened shortly after the Trayvon Martin verdict and basically took over the Capitol for about a month, asking for a change in the law and asking for a change in policies that would allow black and brown youth to feel respected and feel like the state cares about them. they have come back to the Capitol to push for a variety of things, including bills that would enable it and politicians to take into account how different pieces of legislation would affect different communities differently, and a whole host of other things that really kind of speak to the fact about whether or not our politicians really care about the youth in our state. And I would keep paying attention to what the Dream Defenders are doing. So they had a State of the State Union, they had a State of the State address on Tuesday morning. And around the same time in Miami and across the state, there was these Awake the State rallies. In Miami specifically, where I live, we had folks convene at Eric Fresson's office and really talk about the fact that if you ask a lot of people, six people are dying every day because they don't have health care in the state of Florida. Six people are dying every day because they don't have health care in the state of Florida. When you really think about six people dying a day in a war, or six people dying a day because of landmines, or six people dying a day because of cancer, or six people dying a day because of anything, that seems like something you would have to fix. The problem is, as Ron has said so eloquently, that is totally fixable. And all it requires is for our politicians to actually say that they'll just expand Medicaid and take billions of dollars of federal money to do that now. So the One Miami of Awake Miami and of a bunch of different organizations convened in Miami to have a rally that included things as kind of as morbid as having, you know, having the chalking on the street to indicate the six people are dying each day because they don't have access to health care. And there's similar rallies like that across the state that weren't just talking about health care, but we're talking in general about who our politicians are working for and the fact that they're really not working for us. So you're going to continue to see more and more actions. You're going to continue to see more and more youth, for example, immigrant youth going up to the state capitol for rallies to make sure that people get in-state expansion happens. You're going to see more and more people holding rallies to make sure that Medicaid expansion happens. You're going to see more and more actions and rallies that are going to make sure that young people in the state, specifically black and brown young people, are making sure that our state politicians show that all lives matter in our state.
Great. Thank you, Subhash, and thank you, Rick, for having us on. We really enjoyed it, and we'll be coming back next week to tell you what happened in the week ahead. Thanks.
Thank you so very much. That was an excellent report. Appreciate the update. Solidarity.
Great. Thank you, Rick.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Solidarity. Thanks.
Let's sing one of Woody's old songs. There once was a union made who was afraid, but the goons and the geeks and the company pinks and the deputy sheriffs who made the raid. And when the news was called, she went to the union hall. And when the legion boys came round, she always stood her ground.
Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
Yeah.
This union maid was wise to the tricks of company spies. She couldn't be fooled by the company stool. She'd always organize the guys. She'd always get her way when she struck for better pay. She'd show her cards to the National Guard, and this is what she'd say.
Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
You women who want to be free, just take a tip from me. Join your hand with a union man into the 21st century. As Angela Davis found, we're all together bound. Let race and class and gender join to stand on common ground.
Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking with the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union.
So that was our union report from Tallahassee, our good friends at SEIU. It was incredible. Rebecca Wakefield, Ron Bilbao, and Subhash Katil of One Miami. Good job, folks, and we'll talk to you next week. And for the next episode, please tune in on Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time for our immigration show. Thanks very much, and we always... are very proud to co-broadcast with our good friends from SEIU and One Miami. Thanks a lot. Rick Spezak, News Director. We'll talk to you soon.